thought you found a friend to take you out of this place.
Live from the Broughton Cabinet Studio, it's the Need to Know Morning Show on AM 1100, The Flag.
So we're just watching Fox News Channel here this morning. This is bad radio for me to tell you that we're watching something on TV right
Idiots.
Now. But it is unbelievable what's happening in Portland right now. William Lajeunesse from Fox News Channel is doing a live shot after the, 900th straight day of overnight riots. Why somebody in that city doesn't understand that you just don't let people torch your city every night, but apparently they do. So Bill Lajeunesse is doing a live shot there and just kind of talking about, overnight. And in the background, right behind him, all of a sudden, two dudes start swinging at each other. Yeah. And a guy who looks like he's either high or drunk, staggering around behind Bill. Yeah. It's like, it's not just for evenings anymore.
It is ridiculous what's going on there. Trump needs to shut this down. I don't know how anyone living there with a family could just stay there with, raising kids and whatnot and go about your business. Oh, I'd be scared for my life.
No, it's a myth. Did you hear Jerry Nadler?
Absolutely bizarre.
It's a myth. That's all just that's like a movie set or something.
The right wing is making this stuff up.
Those are all all those police officers are just actors or
right
something.
Right wing extremists.
All right, it's 8:07 here on the Need to Know Morning Show, and we have a bonus because last week we, as I was off on vacation, we did not have a CEO spotlight. So we've got a double shot of CEO spotlight for you here, and we have this morning for you Joe Raso, and Joe is president and CEO of Fargo Moorhead Economic Development. Been kind enough to join us here on the phone lines here this morning, give us an update on what's happening in our community. Joe, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning to everyone. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you taking the time. I guess I'll just ask you the first 10,000-foot view question of what's happening in Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo right now. We've been hit by the coronavirus and the accompanying shutdowns that we had to some industry here in our community. We also have had a significant event in the energy sector with oil prices down and the Dakota Access Pipeline being at least temporarily shut down, or it's in the works anyway. So we've had a number of things happen here to our economy locally. Overall, how would you say that we're doing in Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo?
Yeah, I'd say overall we're, I guess maybe it's a mixed bag of some good news and some challenging news for us. I think when we look at some of those macro numbers, unemployment, for example, in the second quarter, we started out at about 9.1% in April, came down to about 6.3% in May, and in June, we finished off at about 5.5%. When we compare our market and even the state, state of North Dakota and state of Minnesota, we're third and fourth amongst the 12 states in the Midwest in terms of the lowest unemployment rates during that second quarter. But I think you might have just seen the news with the Department of Commerce coming out nationally. We saw a shrinkage of the economy by 33% in the second quarter. So if you compare us to what's happening nationally, we're not doing quite as bad. Obviously, the energy sector and its impact on the state of North Dakota is significant. But I think the diversity of our economy, which has shown historically to be pretty strong, especially compared to other markets.
We've all been wondering how businesses are going to come through all of this here in town. And I've thought of the restaurant so many times. And, they went from basically at full speed to literally nothing. Some of them that didn't, have a great takeout or delivery option. And, hair salons, movie theaters as well, hotels have all been really hit hard. When all is said and done and the smoke clears on this, Joe, have you got any sense of how many businesses we might lose that might say, we just can't make a go of it, and they close their doors and turn off the lights for good?
Yeah, well, some of the numbers that we've been talking about with different partners, Charlie Johnson at the CVB and others, I mean, you could see a 20 to 30% reduction potentially. But there are a number of initiatives that are underway. In fact, starting tomorrow, the state of North Dakota through the Commerce Department is rolling out a $60 million emergency resiliency grant program where companies can apply and receive up to $50,000 for what I would call COVID-proofing their business. I think what we're seeing in the last few months, regardless of what the decisions are by the governors at the state level or at the federal level, is a consumer confidence issue where people, anywhere from 30 to 50% of the population in different markets, just aren't confident in going to face-to-face businesses. So I think the efforts by the Department of Commerce with this grant program, which is actually the utilization of CARES funding that went to the state of North Dakota and now is, you know, being looked at to provide to small businesses or all types of businesses statewide. And then on the Minnesota side, the Clay County Commission and the City of Moorhead leadership have come together to establish a similar type program for the businesses in Moorhead. You know, the hope is that these things can help to address the needs that those businesses have to gain the consumer confidence to come out, because it is really the hospitality and retail sectors that have taken the biggest hits in our market and in fact, nationally. So those efforts we think will be definitely helpful, but at the end of the day, as you said, this could still lead to a significant reduction in the short term in terms of the number of employers in the market.
Yeah, when you say 20 to 30% we could lose, are you talking about the hospitality industry specifically?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say right now how that might impact across the marketplace. I mean, even real estate, good news is our housing market in terms of new home builds and real estate sales are very solid, especially compared to what I think most of us were thinking. But when we start to look at commercial real estate, and we're talking to some people nationally, they're planning to see maybe a 30% reduction in commercial real estate needs because of just the change in work that COVID has led to, and people are starting to see maybe, hey, I can work differently and still be productive. So there's that sector. There's the hospitality sector and the retail sectors with changes in purchasing because of COVID that may change significantly, you know, forever. I think for us as the EDC, the big focus is obviously on the primary sector companies, those who really survive off selling their products and services nationally and globally. And they're the ones bringing money into the marketplace that then get churned through all the local businesses and hospitality, retail, healthcare, and others. And fortunately, we are still seeing a good number of existing companies going through expansion projects. TRX, Access Point Technology, just this week, we're in front of the tax-exempt review committee with the city of Fargo to grow their business. We have about 1,000 jobs worth of projects on the books right now that we're hoping to see close in the next 3 months. And if that happens, I think that'll help bolster the job outlook in the foreseeable future for our regional economy, even if things are happening nationally and globally that aren't as positive as we all want to see.
Yeah, I've heard some rumblings of a few of those things, too. You may know more than what you can share on a radio show, but what kind of businesses or what kind of sectors might some of these new companies coming to town might be in?
Yeah, we've got, and that's a great question, because I think when you mentioned the energy sector or the ag sector, obviously those are cyclical sectors that have impacted the state and the region for decades. And so the diversity of this regional economy here kind of helps to balance that out. And so we're seeing projects that are in medical devices, financial services, distribution, manufacturing. So it really runs the gambit. But we also see continued strengthening in some of the investments around ag tech, and because this region has a competitive advantage where it comes to autonomous systems and the ability to work in that space as a company, we're seeing several companies that are in that space interested in our region and across the Red River Valley.
Yeah, Joe, I have I've kind of coined a term, and maybe it only makes sense to me, I don't know, but the danger of the not quite bad enough, I think, is lingering out there in many of our businesses. I think of banks, insurance companies, places like that. At face value, we would say, well, they've kind of been unaffected by the downturn and COVID slowdown or whatever. People still need insurance. People still need their bank. But what happens when enough people lose their job that they say, you know what, I've got to default on that loan, or I'm going to, cut my insurance. I'm going to you know, cut my homeowner's insurance or cut my car insurance or whatever because I just can't afford it anymore. I think a lot of these businesses that we think are going to be fine out of this thing are really going to suffer losses that, quote unquote, aren't quite bad enough that they're going to have to close up shop. You know, Bell Bank isn't going to close down because of this, but is Bell Bank, the bankers around town, the insurance companies, are they going to get hit by, you know, decreasing business that's not quite bad enough to shut their business down, but it's going to affect their ability to do what they want to do and affect maybe raises or increases or bonuses or things like that that might normally come to workers at year end. I think that's a big story that lurks behind the scenes that we may never really see on the outside world.
Yeah, I think those second, third tier impacts that you're talking about is something that we've been discussing as a leadership group. We put together a COVID-19 business task force back in March when this all started to happen and brought together private sector, public organizations, nonprofits. We meet monthly, if not more than that, to talk about the different impacts across the economy and things that we should be looking at both now and in the future. And I think you're right. You know, we don't know how those incremental impacts start to add up and affect sectors that you might not see normally being impacted. And the good news is that when we look at things like our financial services, our publishing, you know, with big companies like Microsoft, for example, and others, you know, we have a diverse enough marketplace that we've been able to kind of withstand a little bit of the impacts on like hospitality and retail. And I don't think it's important to note that the federal PPP program puts about minimum of $500 million up to over $800 million of cash in the hands of businesses to keep people employed when that program came out. That's just in our region. And so that's been, you know, hugely beneficial in the second quarter for our marketplace. And I think one of the things we're all keeping an eye on is the next stimulus bill at the federal level. You know, what's that going to look like and how's that going to impact companies? Are the unemployment benefits going to continue at the rate they are? Or are they going to be cut totally or by a percentage? And then how does that start to, you know, trickle into the marketplace for us?
Yeah, and it's a conversation that I think there are so many dominoes to fall on this, and there are businesses that are going to be affected in, you know, the third and fourth wave. I just think as the dominoes continue to fall, you're going to see that it's going to be a longer slog to pull out of this altogether as a total economy here, locally, regionally, and nationally, than maybe what we would think. We're visiting with Joe Raso this morning. He's the president and CEO of Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development. This is the CEO Spotlight. It's brought to you by Voller Insurance. Their employee benefits specialists work closely with your employees to make sure they see the full value of the benefits that your organization provides. Joe, I have said for quite some time that I believe in North Dakota we have two unfair advantages. The legacy fund, which has been money that's been carved out from oil company revenues for a quote-unquote rainy day. And then we also have the Bank of North Dakota. And while Bank of North Dakota has come alongside some of the local lenders and making some money available, I feel like there's way more that can be done by Bank of North Dakota. And Legacy Fund hasn't even been tapped for anything now or in the future to help businesses here in our state navigate this downturn. And as you said, 20-30%, whatever the number is, maybe it's 10 to 15, that's still one out of every eight businesses that may not make it through. We are in a crisis situation for many of the people I talk to day to day, a business owner, small business people, mom and pop shops around the community. And I just don't feel like statewide, the people that run Bank of North Dakota or the people that run Legacy Fund, the lawmakers of the state, really understand how serious it is. And it doesn't feel like there's enough urgency there that we've got some things that we could do and we're not seeing them happen nearly quick enough or in enough number. Am I wrong on that, or what would your perspective be there?
Well, I think when we talk about the Legacy Fund, I mean, it's such a unique asset for the state. And when I talk to my peers across the country and explain kind of the financial situation that the state of North Dakota is in, I think most of them wish that they were in that position. The question, and I think what you're getting to, is how do you use those resources and when do you use those resources? And I can tell you from 27 years of doing this work in three different states and half dozen regions that, you know, what the priorities are of the companies who make decisions on where they're going to grow business, especially primary sector businesses. They need to know that there is a foundational system in place for them, and that's good logistics, good transportation, flood control, flood supply, which is something that's been talked about and is being addressed in the region, and wanting to make sure that we have the basic infrastructure in place for business, and probably as important, if not more important, is available, affordable, and capable workforce. So when we think of things like career academies that, you know, are hopefully coming online here across the region, and other things like dual credit to make sure that students, when they're in high school or taking college classes, are getting credit for it, that's being paid for, we get them in the workforce faster. Those are things that we've talked about seriously, that we think the legacy fund or the state legislature should be looking at in using resources towards. There's also the research at our universities to help diversify our economy. And I think lastly, when we think about state funding, we're always in competition with other markets around the country and the world for those investments by companies that are technical investments in equipment, technology, things where an automation tax credit, which we have in the state of North Dakota, though not at probably the level it could be, you know, how do we start to invest resources in things that are going to return an investment back to the state, both the people, the infrastructure, and the automation that obviously COVID-19 is shining a stronger light on that we need. And mm-hmm. as far as B&B, the Bank of North Dakota, again, unique asset, one of the only one state bank in the country. And they have done a number of programs with us that may not be as well known or talked about. But we work with them on a monthly basis with our companies and marry up some of their existing programs, even before COVID, with businesses, and we're continuing to do so. Yeah, we can always probably do more in that space, but I think it's also good for your listeners and others to know that those assets are available for us to tap.
Yeah, I just think if not now, when, on so many of these things, and you know, yeah. low interest or no interest loans or grants. I think if you're a local family owned restaurant here in town, I just don't know how you're going to make it long term with what you've lost already. And even though you're fully open, people are still nervous about things because we have the mask mandates, or not the mask mandates, but all the talk about, you know, it's dangerous out there, whatever. I just think there's more that can be done, and we're going to lose a lot of businesses if we don't get serious and act with a sense of desperation that many of these business owners feel day to day. But that may be a subject for another conversation. Joe, before we finish up, just give you a chance to give a little spiel for the FMEDC, what you guys are doing there, and how people can access your services if they would like to.
Well, again, our focus is on those primary sector companies in our region. There's about 500 to 600 that are really those businesses who are worried about selling their products and services nationally and globally. And so, you know, they impact the other 13,000 businesses in the region. And if you're a primary sector company and you're looking for support to continue to grow your business here, or locate, you know, aspects of your company into our market, we want to work with you. And you can obviously check out our website at gfmedc.com to get in touch with any of us.
Okay. Joe, we appreciate the time. It's great having you on and learning more about what you do and getting your thoughts on what's happening here locally. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Joe Raso, President and CEO of Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development. The CEO Spotlight is brought to you by Voller Insurance. When it comes to protecting your business, nobody beats Voller. Doesn't cost a penny to ask some questions. To set up a visit, go online to Voller.com. That's V-A-A-L-E-R.com. 825, Need to Know Morning Show. Short break for us. When we come back, a couple of closing notes. At 825 on the Need to Know Morning Show. We'll be right back.
You're just a click away from the latest news, audio, and video the flag has to offer. Just click AM1100theflag.com.
8:28 on the Need to Know Morning Show. Here's your flag forecast. Another gorgeous day, sunny and 83 with light wind. Absolutely gorgeous. Tomorrow we've got a slight chance of rain starting in the afternoon. the high 89. Saturday, 40% chance of rain as well, and 79. Right now, temps are up, 66.
All right, 828, Need to Know Morning Show. Hey, it's been really fun getting to know the team at Accent Kitchen and Bath over the last few months here. A team member from Accent has been coming into the studio Thursday morning for the past few months. One thing we can tell you is that they are very passionate about what they do. They joke around. They have a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, they put their heart and soul into everything they do for their clients. They really go above and beyond, educating their clients on products. They got a 30-year history in the community. Kitchen and Bath Showroom and Design Center, yes, but so much more. And they've got a great showroom over there, 10,000 square feet, no hopping from store to store. A big belated birthday as well to the funny man, Tim Liebel, at Accent Kitchen and Bath. Check them out online at ChooseAccent.com. ChooseAccent.com. Make sure you get on the auction and bid up that big piece of stone countertop, $3,000 gift certificate. The bidding is underway on AM1100TheFlag.com. Click on Big Deals, and you'll be able to bid on that.
You
probably save some big money on that one. Right,
$3,000, and right now the bidding is at, we're at $625.
Okay.
$625.
It'll go from there, no doubt about that. All right, coming up tomorrow, Steve Carney from Steve Carney Outdoors, professional fishing guide in Otter Tail County, as well as our buddy Randy Nelson from Clay County Extension. Have a great day, folks. See you tomorrow morning at 6.